You guys ready?
Yes.
So it sounds like y'all got the VIP pass for this session, yeah? All right. Fantastic afternoon. Welcome to the second day of SharePoint Conference 2014. How's the conference so far? Useful? All right. So we're going to have a great time, and we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to all of us, which is adoption. Who was in the session yesterday I did with Ciliel on adoption? What did I say about adoption? Do we just use the word adoption? No. What words do we use? On three. One, two, three. That was weak.
Not enthusiastic.
Let's do this again. One, two, three. Sustainable adoption. The goal here is we're going to learn from an esteemed panel of guests on what they've done, what worked, what didn't work, but more importantly, listen, are you listening? How do you sustain this through time? It's not a one-trick pony. It's not just, let's roll it out, let's send everybody to training. How do you do this for keeps? So again, thank you for being here. And as we get started, I just wanted to find out and get some quick poll. How is SharePoint being used in your organization? Is it primarily a big file dump? It's okay, no judgments. Okay? What's the perception of SharePoint? Is it great? People love it? Positive? Raise your hand if it is. Okay? If it's negative, raise your hand as well. Okay, good, good. Quick tip, and this is a very important adoption tip. So when you go back to work after this conference next week, and you see that person who hates SharePoint, and they come to you, oh, I hate SharePoint. SharePoint sucks, right? What you do is you look at them straight in the eye, no blinking. SharePoint doesn't suck, you suck. It's a freaking tool, you know? You're a tool, Ducks. Anyway.
It's a branding tool.
So, my name is Ducks, and I'm very, very passionate and excited about this idea of how you drive sustainable adoption. I've had the privilege to work with organizations in the private sector, public sector, large and small organizations, on how you drive engagement, and more importantly, great use of this wonderful platform. And that's why we're here today. We want to answer this question once we leave in this room. How can you effectively drive excitement, organizational buy-in, and more importantly, drive sustainable adoption in your organization, not just with SharePoint? As you saw in the keynote yesterday, there's a lot of goodness coming out in this whole stack. We had a lot of conversations about Yammer, about social. Later, I'll have a session on BYOD. Mobile is in the picture. So how do I think about this? But more importantly, Ducks, how do we maximize this, drive adoption, and get a lot of good business use? The way we're going to approach this conversation this afternoon, we'll talk to our guests from Best Buy, Trek Bikes, Nationwide Insurance. Just give us a background on what their SharePoint journey looks like and maybe Yammer journey in some instances. And then next, talk about practical strategies that they've done that you can do as well. And along these lines, I also want to talk about the hard truth from a business perspective. Who owns this? How are we going to pay for this? I mean, Ducks, it's one thing if we send people to training that's out of their training budget, professional development, whatever. But to sustain this, who's going to own this and make sure we're pushing this? Does corporate communications own this, HR own this, or do IT take this on? So we'll talk to them what they did and what worked, what didn't. And lastly, we'll talk about some of the key lessons they learned and, more importantly, what their future plans look like. This session is very intimate. There's only 700 of us. I want to make it very interactive and conversational. Throughout the session, if you have a question, send it out on Twitter. I'll be watching. Post it on the Yammer group, or you can simply raise your hand, and we have wonderful colleagues here that will come to you and give you the mic, and they can ask the question as well. You guys ready? All right. So, to get started, let's get to meet our panel of guests. I feel like a game show host, you know?
Like, as long as it's not the dating game.
Not the dating game?
No.
All right.
So, first off, what I would like to do is have them introduce themselves. So quickly, give your background so everybody get to know you. But more importantly, outside of work, can you share what your passion is as well? That would be so valuable. And that has a lot to do with this session, trust me. So let's start off with Best Buy, Sarah.
All right. Hello, everyone.
Hey.
That was not very enthusiastic. Hello, everyone. Thank you. My name is Sarah Hazy. I'm a librarian and an architect at Best Buy. I've held a variety of roles at Best Buy. Most recently, the last 2.5 years, I've been helming our SharePoint Center of Excellence, which in our organization is based in IT. My role ultimately is responsible for enterprise user adoption and governance for SharePoint. My expertise areas have been variety, content management, knowledge management. From an enterprise perspective, we tend to use SharePoint primarily as a workflow automation tool, so a lot of team sites, project sites, and business process optimization. In terms of passion areas around SharePoint, obviously user adoption, governance, ROI is another one. In my spare time, when I'm not doing SharePoint at work, I organize a little event called SharePoint Saturday Twin Cities. Any of you been to that event? Not loud cheering, but it's a fantastic event. It's a fantastic event. Yes. So I do that, and then just to prove I do something other than SharePoint, I do have 2 kids. So.
All right.
And just like I am not objective about SharePoint, my kids are cuter than everybody else's, so I'm not objective about
that. All right. Thank you. Welcome, Sarah. Next, I'd like to introduce a gentleman of style, Matt. Go ahead. The only other person wearing a bow tie, so I'm kind of bummed. But anyway, Matt, go ahead.
My name is Matthew Ruderman. I also work at Best Buy with Sarah Hazy. So Sarah mentioned that she's kind of responsible for the overall strategy and user adoption. I help her execute that strategy. So I'm responsible for really internal consulting with our users throughout Best Buy and helping them not only think, is SharePoint right for them, but also kind of fitting SharePoint to their specific needs. I also helped Sarah develop our entire internal training program at Best Buy to customize that for our users and the specific needs they have. So we weren't giving them just generic training, we were giving them something highly customized to our environment. Outside of Best Buy, my passion is really cooking. And I love to cook and create new things in the kitchen.
Very good, wonderful, welcome. Next up, Nationwide Insurance. Anybody attended Chris's session this morning? Good stuff, yeah? All right. Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
That was a smattering of applause. Wow.
They work for you, right?
Yeah, that's all my team, man. Nobody else came. So I'm at Nationwide, and I'm the IT leader over the group that's got all of our collaboration, as well as our customer insights analytics, and then nationwide.com in the mobile space. And for us, the SharePoint journey's been short but extremely and incredibly powerful, and our Yammer journey's been a little bit longer, dating back to 2008. And we've really created an environment that we call our associate digital experience. I can tell you right now, our team owns it. So the IT organization is the one that owns that experience and delivers it. But it really brings the conversation, the document, and people all together into this collaborative environment, and then we really tie it together with search. So the search that really works in the environment pulled together with all of that, and now we've layered on productivity apps and other things that our associates can use, and they truly do love SharePoint at Nationwide. And outside of work, you can see I love to do anything outdoors, hiking, climbing, skiing, you name it. So.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Chris. Next guest from Trek Bikes.
Hey.
I typed the wrong name, sorry.
Yeah.
Steve.
All right. So hey, everybody. Steve.
Yeah.
Novoselic, and I work at Trek Bikes. Got the wrong name on there, though, right?
All right. Yeah. I won't get my free bike
because it's outdoor
now.
Stuff, right? Okay. You can see the helmet.
So at Trek, I'm a technology director. I manage software development, business intelligence, and enterprise collaboration. Enterprise collaboration consists of SharePoint, Yammer. We throw CRM in there, too, and whatever else we can find. We have been running SharePoint for 4 years, 5 years. That's pretty awesome, right?
Agile, you know, it's a big thing, yeah.
Nationwide, we've been running Yammer since 2008. We do a lot of integrations between everything to make it seem like one system, get as much as we can integrated. What I like to do outside of SharePoint and Yammer, Well, biking is a good one.
All right. Good. What kind of discounts do you get? Good discounts?
Yeah.
Good. Wonderful. So let's get the conversation started. First thing I want to do, this session is broken down three sessions. I want to understand the journey, how it came to be, why SharePoint, the struggles they went through, and then we'll talk about the strategies they put together, a kind of team, budget, what worked, what didn't work, and then lastly, lessons learned and what the future looks like. So I want to start with Steve and talk about their journey with SharePoint. I guess the very first question is, how SharePoint came to be, why did you guys start using it, and then when, and then what does it look like today?
Right. So SharePoint started off for us with someone in IT just installing it, and
that's so unusual.
With no real plan at all, and it just kind of was there, and no governance or no plan, and it was kind of a mess. We already had Yammer at the time, so it was before Microsoft owned them, and we had those two things, and we started using SharePoint for project sites and some business processes, and then we said, let's make the intranet SharePoint. So we went to SharePoint 2010, and made the intranet. We branded it like trekbikes.com, so it looks the same. The journey past that, we started integrating Yammer into SharePoint any way we could around then, and then Microsoft bought Yammer, which was like score, right?
Convenient.
That saved us a lot of time and effort. Why do we have both these tools? Well, now they're just one, Yammer Point.
Yam Point.
Yeah. So we did that, and then
Share Yam.
In the last year, we went to SharePoint 2013. We have some stuff in SharePoint Online. We actually have a public-facing website that's running on SharePoint 2013 on Azure Infrastructure as a Services. So we have all these different things going on there. So yeah.
And today, how are people using it? Is it just a file share?
Oh yeah, it's file shares, it's business processes, it's
BI.
BI, huge BI. We integrated our BI SSRS. We use Performance Point. We have Power Pivot and Power View on prem integrated into SharePoint, and then we use it for anything and everything we can find, I guess.
Good, fantastic. Chris, how about nationwide? Why SharePoint? How did it start? And where are you today?
Yeah, so for us, it started with Yammer as a social network, and so that was our social enterprise and the experience we had that was kind of moving through. And from a document perspective, we had two other tools in-house that were horrible. One of them was slow. It wasn't fast, as the name might allude to. And another one just was a little more complex for associates to work through. So what we came up with is, let's put SharePoint in. And when we talked about it, we thought more than just documents, because the team has a great leader and a vision for where they want this to go. And so they wanted it to be an experience. They didn't want it to be a tool. And so knowing we were going to put SharePoint in, we already had Yammer, we worked hard, and we had integration natively the day we launched. But it was creating an experience that we developed that sat on top of SharePoint, and we call that Spot. And so you'll see, and I'll get into that a little bit more later, but that associate workspace is now something that the associates feel it's theirs. It's my spot. It's where I go to do what I need to do every day. And so SharePoint rides underneath, allows us to do all the search and features and documents, but what happens is Spot sits on top and integrates it all together. And we've built an app store into it today. And so through crowdsourcing, any associate or any developer can create an app and submit it into the store and becomes public for any other associate to load to their desktop. And you can customize your desktop and change the colors and everything else. And it's really created this internal experience that even though you're really working on documents and collaborating on the backside, it just feels like any other device that you carry. And there's an app that can do that. I can get weather. I can look at how much time off I have. I can start to enter health benefits and other things in here. I can get into facts of the day. Whatever it is, it's all sitting on that desktop. So what we wanted to do, and the reason we went with SharePoint, is it enabled us to create that experience, layer that over, and then integrate tightly with Yammer. So you have that conversation, document, and people all pulled together.
Fantastic. Best Buy, when did SharePoint came around, and what was the reason you guys start using it?
Before I start, for those of you that are lining the walls, if you want an even more authentic HD experience, there are seats right up here in the front. So come on down if you would like to. So if you look back at sort of the dawn of time, I'll call it 2007, we actually installed SharePoint for one business department that needed it for a single project. So I think a pretty common story, the alternative to IT just installed it because they had the license keys and they thought it would be a good idea. So we installed it for one project. Within a year, we had about 100 gig of data stored in SharePoint. Within 3 years, we had 5 terabytes of data stored within SharePoint. So you could say that if user adoption were measured in the amount of storage space consumed or the number of times that a single document was stored in different locations, in SharePoint, we had massive and highly unsuccessful user adoption. So that's where we started in 2007. Needless to say, it was highly decentralized. There were not really any guiding operating principles. It was, and we'll actually go into more detail on this in our session, which is actually following this one, but it was really sort of the patient was alive on life support. The systems were up and running, but the quality of life, no one was really checking on. So it was actually only about 2 years ago that we finally made successfully the business case to get enterprise funding to build an enterprise team dedicated to SharePoint. And we've really changed the course of things for us in the last 2 years with the dedication of that team. So now we actually have a SharePoint Center of Excellence, and it's amazing what you can do when you have time and dedication and some talented people to go after that.
So let me ask about that, Sarah. How big is Best Buy? How many people?
Our corporate campus is about 4,500 people. Across the world, including the field, it's over 100,000.
So your implementation, would it touch the 100,000 people?
Yes, but our main information consumers and information providers are mainly at the corporate campus. I would say a small percentage of people in the field actually provide information, but a lot of them consume information on SharePoint.
Okay, so let's talk about, you said, building this business case.
Right.
When did you start thinking about, we need something, we need to drive adoption, we need to drive better usage? Can you share what that picture looks like and how that business case came to be?
And how that came to be?
Yeah.
So back in 2007, when I had an idea, I was actually not working on SharePoint. I was doing content management work for BestBuy.com. I really saw my users and I'll call it the poor man's workflow solutions. They had to get a job done every day and the data had to get from point A to point Z, and they used whatever tools were at their disposal to do that. So that mainly consisted of email and Excel, right? And everyone had their own personal Excel spreadsheets, and they spent an awful lot of time copying and pasting data from other people's spreadsheets into theirs, saving it, emailing it to everyone they knew so that they could copy data out of that. And it worked, it just was obviously not optimized. So I had a vision for being able to use SharePoint differently. Ended up being in a couple of years, I had built a lot of solutions, I had great ROI, but I was ultimately a site collection administrator in one department in the business. So what ended up happening is we actually got really fortunate. We had a Microsoft rep who was new to our organization, came in, met a lot of people in the company who were using SharePoint, helped us to meet one another, and we had what we like to call a Renaissance moment, right? So we really came together and we decided to pool our business cases, our ROI that we were having for SharePoint, and really then shop it around to find executive support. We started with those departments who are already heavily dependent on SharePoint in order to meet their objectives. And if we could get the support of those executives, we were able to leverage that into broader executive support. It did take us about 2 years to go from the point of first coming together as sort of a committee for change or a Renaissance moment to actually having the investment in a team. But I'll be honest, in our organization, that's not a long time in the sense of building that business case. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree completely. The culture at Best Buy is really one of kind of grassroots innovation. So departments are kind of left to their own, that if they want to innovate on something, a new tool or a new platform, they're kind of given that leeway to do that. And if they've got funding for it, they can really get off the ground. But we had these scattered groups throughout Best Buy who were using SharePoint. They were completely dependent on the system, and that was the tool that they chose to use. So by having this Renaissance movement and coming together, we kind of lashed our canoes together and had a bigger boat to help steer the greater ship with.
Let me ask Chris, in your organization, What made you realize this is worth something investing on? And more importantly, not only the platform, but investing on making sure that users themselves own it and want to use it and take advantage of it? And what did that business case look like?
Yeah, so the business case is, you know, anytime you spend several million dollars on something, it better work and people better use it. So that was kind of driven and a given. But the way it got started is from a simplification play. We had two platforms that didn't quite get the job done, and things were scattered across the enterprise. So if you had 13 terabytes of stuff sitting there, how do you bring it together and get it into one location? So the business case to actually go down the path was driven by that. I can go from 2 to 1, and even if one costs the same as two, the enterprise doesn't feel another dollar of spend. So we get it to where, all right, so let's say the environments are the same from an expense perspective, but there's other things you get from a performance, speed, functionality, but just to say dollar for dollar, they're the same. Now we've got this new platform. Now how do you get people to use it? And so there was a real drive from our CIO to get the value out of the investment and really drive something down the path. And quite honestly, we talked about we need people dedicated to this. And so the early onset of the business case was investing in 3FTE, our collaboration services team, and their job is to get out in the enterprise and advocate and teach and share and coach and train. And that investment in those three individuals now and sustainably going forward allows us to, do I get points for that? that's what allows us to keep the adoption. And that's just at the core. I mean, it is much broader than that. But just to say, okay, if you're going to invest this much on a platform, can we invest that much in people dedicated to making it work and creating the advocacy and the energy and the branding and everything else? And so that's really kind of where it started as an infancy for us, and it's just exploded from there on the crowd and everybody else adopting what was there.
Sure.
The build-out of it was quite interesting, too. Instead of these other tools that we said, here, use this, and just jammed it onto people's desktops, we took this out and piloted it with about 500 individuals and said, tell us what you think.
How big total is Nationwide?
So Nationwide's 37,000 associates all in.
Okay.
And so we took 500, and we made sure we had a good cross-cut of auto, home, life, business people, IT people, just every level everywhere in this group. And we said, drive the tool, tell us if it solves your pain points. And they're like, well, I don't know, how do I get home? And how do I find things? And how do I that's what actually drove the build out of this experience. So now you had associates, and Jeff Schumann, who's the leader on the team, coins this, you know, it was created by associates for associates. And it really was. So the associates built it and designed it themselves, and then we delivered it to them. So they took ownership, and those people went back and talked to their teams and said, hey, I helped figure out that a search bar should be right in the middle. And I told them, you need to have my personal space up here, or I want to make sure that I know how to get home over here and things. So it was really created by the associates. So that kind of was the energy to get them to buy in. And then we had this team that started driving the adoption and the energy across the enterprise below.
You know, there's two very important points that both Best Buy and Nationwide raised, right? So when they talked about getting and putting together a business case, what's common in both their situations is, while I'm sure they're IT or they're involved in some capacity with IT, you know, they try to figure out what the business needs. Sarah talked about, we looked at high-profile business groups, if they're using it, helping their business. And then Chris talked about, you know, what works for you? How would this be beneficial? And in a lot of cases, this is opposite to how we do this. Oh, 2013 is out. Let's fire up this VM and play with it. And then some, you know, IT groups playing with it, hit somebody in marketing. Ooh, this is cool. Look at Newsfeed. Look at Yammer. And then marketing started using it, and then sales, now it's production internet, right? Doesn't happen that way, no? But we never really spend time and understand the business need. I know this is like, you've heard this over and over and sounds academic, but again, I wasn't joking earlier. SharePoint is a tool. It's going to help get job done. But what's that job, right? And the reason why 80% of global SharePoint deployment is nothing but a file share, because our MO is, here, have fun, bless your heart, I'll talk to you in 3 years for the next upgrade, right? That's what we do. And then users, they do what they know, and they do what they do. Oh, it looks like a folder. Let me put files there. And then they never mature. And now we have very expensive file share. Yeah? Now, some of you may be thinking, great for Sarah, great for Chris, great for Matt. They're big companies. You know, a couple thousand people, almost 100,000, 36. But we're not that. We're much smaller. I mean, I don't think I can make a business case to ask to hire people to help me. I mean, what about smaller organizations? So, Steve, why don't you share your story, how you made your case, and tell everyone how big your organization is.
Right. I mean, so, you know, their test group is like, you know, half of our company. So there's around 1,800 people at Trek, about 1,300 information workers. We're worldwide. So most of the people are in Wisconsin, probably about 700-800 in Wisconsin. You know, when we started and we said, okay, it really was driven, I mean, it's a very small company compared to these guys, like you said, and it was driven by, we have an information delivery problem. Like, we want to communicate internally with our employees. They don't know what's going on. There's all this cool stuff going on, programs and whatever. And so we had an intranet previous to SharePoint, and it was a custom Java, you know, CMS, wasn't really flexible. You know, HR kind of ran the corporate communications. It's kind of one function. And they were like, we want something better. And I'm like, SharePoint. You know, SharePoint is the solution for this. So let's work with us. Let's get it designed and branded the way we want. You know, how do we make the case? Well, we started, it was just me, right, for a while. And then it's like, okay, there's too much for me to work to do here, plus everything else that I'm doing. We need to hire a SharePoint admin. We need to bring someone in to, do this stuff. And you might look at it, and if you're a smaller company, you might say, well, we need someone who can work on the admin side and someone who can run on the front end. And yeah, you probably do, but it's good luck trying to get two FTEs, right? So we needed one. So I had to find someone who's really good across all those areas. Or if not, you know, throw them to the wolves and say, figure this out. So did that, and, you know, as it grows and we grow, you know, we'll probably look at when do we need to add more resources to help. But you get help where you can. You take a BI resource, and you manage the SSRS integrations into SharePoint so that you kind of take over these parts and pieces. I think that's how we... HR and the corporate communication information delivery drove the project to get it in. And then once we had it, we said, okay, let's use the tool and other parts and pieces that we can use, like BI. And BI kind of drove it too. Like we knew that Microsoft was going in that direction. So, and we're very heavily invested in BI. And we said we need to have this delivery mechanism at SharePoint to be able to do the things that the direction they're going in. And so kind of those two things came together to get the funding and get the project off the ground.
Did you get naysayers, like executives, and they said, no, we're not going to spend that?
A little bit. I mean, you always do, right? But I think everyone knew we needed a better intranet. And we said SharePoint's the solution. It kind of fell in place. I think... there's always people that are going to be naysayers, right?
Sure.
With everything. I think as we go into different groups in the business and say, here's this tool that we have now and you can use it, everyone is delighted. Like, wow, I didn't know we had this. Or, wow, what can this do for me now? What processes can we pull in from the business and put into workflows or put into forms instead of an Excel spreadsheet that gets passed around? Things like that. And you know, we just hit it case by case and keep growing adoption. And an easy way, though, is just to set the homepage, you know, when people log in the group policy. That's an easy way to grow, get people to actually know it's there. I mean, that's...
Sure.
On one hand, I'm like, we shouldn't do that. And on the other hand, it's... They're kind of by default getting that news and that front page information to them. So
what I like about what you said, when he's asking his business community is, you know, what other business need can we help you with or other solutions we can do? The conversation is not about, here's a site, put your files there. Or how do you like your SharePoint? Team sites, wiki service, you want to supersize it? BI, next. But that's what we do, right? How do you like your SharePoint? I want the one like sales. It's fine initially, because at a certain point you have to standardize it. You have site templates and all that, but then you don't stop. You continue the conversation. What else can we do?
We don't want people to, my way of thinking is I don't want people to know that it's SharePoint. It's the intranet, right?
Yeah.
It's not, we try not to talk and it's SharePoint, right? It's SharePoint, SharePoint. It's hard for IT people, especially because it not just only with SharePoint, but with email. It's like Exchange is down. And people are like, what's Exchange? It's like,
yeah.
Email's down, mm-hmm. right? SharePoint's down. What do you mean? Intranet. Oh, okay. Right? So.
And that's a good point. Like nationwide, it's called Spot, right? What in at Best Buy, what do you call your platform?
SharePoint.
Hey, why did we get them up on stage here? Microsoft. But I agree. One of the things I keep telling customers is, you know, SharePoint is so huge and big. I mean, you ask 10 people what SharePoint is, you get 10,000 answers, which may be right or wrong. It's kind of like collaboration, internet. You know, I believe in the rule of the Fight Club. When you're in the Fight Club, you don't talk about the Fight Club. So you don't talk about SharePoint. Right? What's that? Second rule is the same rule. So before I ask the next question, you know, this morning I spent some time with Steve and some of analysts, and we had a great conversation. But can you share that story of that team you guys bought
and
how this platform delivered value and also about the cloud and all that? I thought that was a brilliant story.
Yeah, so we have the on-premise SharePoint and we have our infrastructure as a services public site for one of our properties. But, you know, Trek, we make bikes, that's our main purpose, but we also have sponsored racing teams in the past, and this year we bought a team, we actually purchased a team. So not only were we sponsoring, but these people were actually employees of Trek. And, you know, the ask came in like November of last year, like, hey, can we get an intranet for this team? Okay. But don't make it part of our intranet, just make it, you know, for the team, okay? Well, let's just fire up Office 365. New tenant, you know, need 65, 75 users. For all the team and their liaisons and trainers, and, you know, doctors and everything. And, you know, we fired that up and got it going. And you know, just so happened that, you know, right before we went live with the intranet, the email provider that was giving email to the team shut it down. So we needed to add email. So we just went in and checked the box for email, and it was working. You know, so we didn't spend a whole ton of time getting it going. Using the cloud, using Office 365, I mean, it was days to get a solution for them. And so these guys are all over the world. They're in, you know, Europe, they're in Australia, in South America. They all speak different languages. They're, you know, they're mobile. But, you know, it's a first time. Some of them told us, like, this is the first time we've ever had an intranet. You know, of all the other teams we've been on, or sponsors, or whoever, owners, we've never had something like this. So, you know, Office 365 made that happen very quickly. Like, we didn't have to spend months or weeks, you know, requisitioning servers and, you know, setting up firewalls and networks. You know, it was just like, here you go, and it's there. So,
the reason why I have Steve tell that story and relates exactly this idea of business case is one of the things you have to do is demonstrate value. You know, a lot of us, especially I'm sure a lot of you are on-prem, you know, we think about, we're going to roll out SharePoint, improve collaboration. Let's say you have a budget, you know, your budget's 100%, and we're going to help the business. Guess what? 80% of that budget is spent on buying servers, hiring people to do it, licenses and all that, and then the remaining 20% we'll use it and send people to training, right? So what if you flip those numbers instead of maybe doing on-prem, just like in this case, we'll use Office 365. You still have the same budget, but now you have extra money maybe to drive adoption usage. Maybe you can hire somebody part-time or full-time. So think about those options and strategies as well. Now let's talk about tactical approach. Let's talk about tactical approach. So I want to go back to Best Buy because I've seen Sarah's work, a lot of great ideas. So let's say, so you made the business case. This is a good thing. This is important. Now working with a business, right?
Right.
What are some of the tips that people can do to get them going beyond, number one, just putting files there? And number two, realizing, hey, there's really value here. It makes my life easier, better, and makes my job faster and more efficient. So can you share some examples and how you prove it, not only for the business user, but report it back to management, hey, this thing's working.
Sure, I'll give a couple and then I'll let Matt give a couple. So I think that the number one tip is one thing that we try and do a lot. When you're working with users, I think it's really important to be engaging, be fun, and be somebody that they have actually an interest in following or even bothering to listen to. So we spend an awful lot of effort internally within our SharePoint user group to be engaging, to be fun, and to generally be somebody worth following. So we spend a lot of time on the people-to-people business of basically earning the right to even get your attention to sit down and have a conversation. And we find that that works really well in terms of the signal-to-noise ratio of getting people to really be engaged with us. Another thing that personally, I'm a big proponent of ROI, especially how we're using SharePoint from a workflow automation perspective. If I'm really working with someone and they have a business need that they need met, I'm automatically thinking from the very first meeting that I have with them about requirements, about the potential return on investment of that solution and how I can quantify what that value is and qualify it with testimonials and things on the back end. So typically what I do when I build a solution or I coach someone to build a solution, they actually implement that solution and I literally set a reminder in my Outlook calendar 3 months ahead to go back and meet with that person again, to start talking to them about the benefits that they've seen from that solution. I literally will schedule a 30-minute meeting, sit down with them and ask them first, are you still using it? And sometimes they're not, and that doesn't necessarily mean that my time was wasted. It might mean that we missed a key feature, might mean that we need a slight tweak, the business process has evolved, or that it just wasn't the right thing at the right time. But if they're still using it after 3 months, then we talk about, okay, how are you using it? What kind of a difference is it making? What benefits are you seeing? We'll literally go through, talk about the benefits, both the soft benefits and then the real dollar benefits. At Best Buy, from a SharePoint perspective, SharePoint isn't really directly a revenue generator for us, but indirectly, if SharePoint can help us get our products to market faster, I've actually built several solutions that have actually had direct revenue lifts based on the fact that we built something in SharePoint. So if we have that, great. If we replaced a legacy system, great. But we look for all the opportunities to calculate return on investment, and I end up coming up with a one-page summary case study of what we basically come up with. And once we sign off on it, that goes to my management, and it goes to their management, the customer who I built the solution for. And in that way, partnering with them, they generally become a walking, talking advertisement for SharePoint, because not only do they have a solution that works, we've made them look good. And they can go to their boss, and when it's annual review time, they have something positive to be able to say. And we find that them moving forward, using SharePoint and talking about it with others is worth way more free advertising than we could ever do on our part, because they're objective, sure. Right? And people take those recommendations very seriously.
Quickly, two questions. So you said documenting these ROI. Yeah. Is there like a tool you use, Excel spreadsheet, or?
The model that I use is incredibly specific to our culture at Best Buy. I don't really have an Excel template. It's more of a conversational approach to be able to figure out what the benefits are. From an organizational perspective, PowerPoint speaks to us from a company perspective. It's a common means for being able to record things. So I actually use PowerPoint. I literally have, and in fact, I have, I don't know if you have it in your slide deck, but I have an example that I came with. Do you have it in here?
I don't, but I will share it. So okay. Everything you sent me, because there's a bunch of resources. So all the resources that are available, we'll put it together and make sure we'll zip it and email you 5 gigs of files.
All right. So in 5 weeks, you'll have it, or you can, I'll paint you a visual picture. So what I do from a PowerPoint perspective, I always have a heading, business need, solution, and benefits. The business need is just a one-sentence overview of what the business need was. The solution is a series of short bullet points, usually saying we moved the data online to SharePoint in a central location. We built a workflow approval process, you know, a seven-stage workflow process. Then in the benefits, I start off listing the soft benefits. No more duplication of effort. No more reporting of issues multiple times, right? No more manually sending spreadsheets to people. Then I put the dollar amount of the qualification at the bottom. What I do with the notes section at the bottom of the PowerPoint, I document everything related to that project, all the numbers that we came up with, everything that went into the ROI statement. So that's really the artifact that I have. And then I help to coach the customer, and I end up taking that summary and making a sales pitch out of it or an elevator pitch out of it, so that if I happen to be riding in the elevator with my CEO, I can say, guess what we did with Windows 7? We got like over $100,000 in ROI from using SharePoint and InfoPath, and it was you never know when you're going to be with the CEO in an elevator. So it's important to have a sales pitch, right?
Absolutely. Fantastic. So I want to go to nationwide and talking about demonstrating value. I saw the video, and I think it's a great story, where one of your customers called in. Their car got stuck, and because having Yammer in place, I mean, that's clear value. Can you share that story?
Yeah, so what happened was there was one of our, we call them members, was out driving, and they had rented a large RV. We're heading down the way to vacation, and somehow something happened. It broke down, and they're stuck in the mountains in West Virginia or Virginia, somewhere in the on the eastern seaboard part of the country. So they're stuck, called their agent and said, hey, we're stuck. What can you do? And the agent's like, well, you know, your policy didn't cover it. And so there were questions. And so they called the help desk, and the help desk was like, well, hang on, that goes to this other area, and they're out on a team meeting, so let me get back to you. So now you got a family sitting there, first day of their vacation, stuck. So at the same time, the agent pushed it into Yammer and said, hey, I have this scenario, what do you think? And so now you kind of have these two threads. You've got the call center process of call this person, find the expert, ask them, get their boss, talk to them, escalate. The thing went into Yammer, and directionally I'm going to put it there. Within 2 hours, you had the head of product, the head of claims, all these other areas weighing in going, well, it's actually covered under this other type of policy, so it's in, you know, don't ask why an RV is under Inland Marine, but it's under Inland Marine. Welcome to our world, yeah. So, you know, under the Inland Marine, which has the toys, so it's a toy. Again, don't ask. It's like a bike, right? But
you put a
it's
bike
a toy,
on an RV.
So you actually had coverage for that under here. So within a couple hours, you had all these people going, well, I think about this, and what about this? And somebody went and looked it up, and they literally got the answer and got it pushed back out to that agent, and they were able to turn around and say, here's what you have to do, here are the steps, how do you get it fixed, how do you get it towed, how we're going to cover it, get it done, and then be on your way, and it's all taken care of by Nationwide. And so what started, you know, and they're still like on the 14th escalation on the other side going, well, I can't ask that because they're, and so you had a traditional call center view of I'm only focused and knowledgeable on this, and then it gets to this group, and then it had to go over here. It got onto Yammer, and just through all the connections, 37,000 people, but over 500,000 connections when I follow 200 people and 200 follow me and another 2,000 go this way, that your voice gets heard. And so it got heard, and it got solved in a much shorter time that we were able to get that member on the road surely because of the tool.
I mean, I love this example, and I have a follow-up question. I mean, yesterday at the keynote, they talk about this way of working in the network world. That right there is how you work. And at the end of the day, delivering great customer value is the mission of the company. Now, the reason I want you to talk about that story, I want to kind of do a reverse engineering on this. What was your approach in getting adoption? I mean, you're an, no offense, but you're an insurance company. You're in the same bucket as banks, government, and lawyers. Right? And maybe doctors.
I'm out of here.
I'm a little uncomfortable up here.
No, it's good. That keeps the economy going. Now, because I work in the public sector, right? And anytime I bring up this conversation, social, collaboration, we don't do that here. We don't want pictures of cats on our internet, right? Now, you laugh. That's what the executives would say. So my question to you is, what's the approach? You talk about adoption on selling the value. So you talk about the agent and then the head of product. And then, more importantly, what's the guidance for them? Like, if this situation happens, you can go to Yammer. Or how does that all work?
So, actually, what I'll start with is there's kind of a too high and low approach on this. So, the millennials, so typically our call center reps and a lot of the new employees, that's how they. This is how they live. We talk about a phone call is disruptive. Don't call me. You can text me. But if you call me, I have to stop, and it just disrupts the whole thing. So it's gotten to where it's quick bursts of, you know, information and texting. So that's how that generation has grown up, and that's how they think. And then with Facebook and other things, it's just sharing and open with everything. And so you've got this inbound group coming into this conservative Midwest insurance company who's heavily regulated. And there's this, hey, how do I communicate up to people? And then you go to the top of the house, and you typically have more mature individuals who've been around for a while, yes. And they're like, what's this? You know, I kind of joke, but this is honest. So we've actually, one of the things that I would encourage you to do is educate everybody. We had one of the senior attorneys who's making decisions on what we can and can't do, and we're talking about hashtags in the meeting, and he goes, is that pound sign thingy?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh. So they, you know, they don't know what they're making decisions on, and they're trying to set the rules and things in place. So what we did, and part of it's totally by luck, but this is one of the things I'd encourage you to do, go find the senior leader that's in their 60s, that has a lot of power in the organization, and you can, whether it's a, you know, a challenge to them or something else, and say, you know what, you have 7, 12, 15,000 of these younger generation people who want to talk to you. Everybody else is afraid. You think you might do it? So we got lucky that one of our presidents just latched on and said, I want to talk to everybody, and I want to be heard. And so you got that direct tie from the top down, and now you have this great dialogue going, and he's pushed influence across his peer group, and everybody that reports to him from a senior leader perspective is heavily, heavily encouraged to leverage the tool to talk and share and post and do things. So from how do you drive this, you have this top under this swell from below that's natural. You can't stop it, and that's the way of the future. And then you have to convince folks above to try it, and there's a trust factor. You have to feel comfortable getting out there and posting, and you can tell when people first get in. And just quick story, when I first did my post, I typed it in Word and read it, and okay, make sure everything's spelled right, and I put it in Yammer, and I pulled it back out, and I put it back in, and I posted it, and my team, they're sitting down here, they were joking, because it took me like 20 minutes to say, hey, what would be a cool app to build on the network? And then all of a sudden people started hitting, and I'm like, I'm done, I'm a post, you know, I'm engaged, I'm in, and they're like, they're talking to you. I'm like, no, they're not. They're posting stuff underneath my thing. And they're like, yeah, they're talking to you. You got to answer them. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, back into Word. I'm like, that sounds like a good idea, post. You know? But, you know, now if you go read my post, they're misspelled. I'm missing words. You know, I put the wrong caption under the wrong. And everybody just kind of goes, oh, that means he's really doing it. And so there's a sense of forgiveness. But people have to get over that first mistake. And be, so you got to build this trust with these people who aren't natural, they didn't grow up using this, that it's okay to make a mistake, and it's okay. Mm-hmm. I forget what he actually, this president was on the road, and he meant to type something, and somehow it spell corrected on him, and he put something, you know, meeting with our goofy CEO, and he's supposed to be groovy, and he's like, oh, can you pull it? So we had to go. But yeah, and but it was, everybody kind of laughed and said, oh, that was awesome. They just know it's natural.
And it's very authentic.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I love the examples on how do you put together a, you know, business case at the business level and socialize that. Also, the value, again, the customer story. Before I ask a question, what do you think so far? Good flow? Good conversation? I got a couple questions on Twitter. There's a question around SharePoint Ninjas. Sarah will be covering that in her next session.
And what's the room number?
I don't remember.
Just look it up.
It's right upstairs, yeah. Right after the session.
So she'll spend a lot of time talking about ninjas and the idea of champions. What's that?
It is Lando 4204.
Lando 4204.
You see, isn't it great if we have a session like this, everybody's participating? Yeah. That's the network. So the next SharePoint conference, I'm going to try and make sure all of you are speakers, right? Now, next question. So I want to go back to Steve. You talked earlier about engaging with HR and corporate communications. Now, a lot of times we put these things in place as IT, it's an IT thing. Oh, we're going to do Exchange rollout or upgrade to Windows. How did the idea of working with a business group like HR, corporate communications, came to be? Because that's such a foreign concept, IT and the business working together. What? I'm just being real, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It is a foreign thing, isn't it? It's a, you know, everyone takes a different journey in their organization. I think, you know, we looked at it and we, you're right, things do get driven by IT a lot. And we're, a lot of people here are IT people. And what we don't want is our tool to be thought of as, well, that's just another IT thing. It's another IT thing, right? Like, yeah. and how do you get the business engaged? And it's great where they came to us. Like when people come to us with an ask, and instead of us just giving them a tool and walking away, like you said, it's us putting ourselves in their shoes. Like, what if I was in HR? What would I want to do? How would I want to disseminate information? How would I want to answer questions that people have about policies and insurance and so we try to build the solutions around that. I mean, that's how we work with the business groups, I guess.
So today, how do you engage with them? What's their role? Do you have regular meetings? What do you talk about? Do you plan campaigns?
Yeah, we'll have meetings. They'll come to us. I mean, we talk to them. It's a small company, right? You see people in the hall or, meet in the atrium, have a coffee or, have a discussion on Yammer or, So usually it'll be like, hey, can we do this? What do you guys think about this? We can do that. The solution might not be SharePoint, right? And you have to know when to use the right tool for the right thing. It might be, well, this is better served by something else, right? And giving them the right solution. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Now, along that lines, so a lot of you may be thinking, well, Ducks, this is great. Got some good ideas. Let's say we push this. We drive adoption. People love it. We continue to work with them. How do we support it? Again, we don't have the luxury like, some of these companies hiring people to support. What's the support model look like? Because once we drive adoption, IT support can't scale as fast. So I want to ask everybody what your support model looks like. Start with Best Buy.
Our support model, we're lucky enough to have a team, within Best Buy that supports SharePoint, right, and a couple other collaboration tools. Everyone on our team, with the exception of our actual farm admin, actually came from the business. We've all been working for Best Buy for a while now. We've all kind of been in the trenches trying to support SharePoint from a site collection administrator perspective. So we all have a lot of context into kind of how some of these business units are trying to run. Our support model really looks like we have one individual whose pretty much sheer role is just making sure the servers are up and running and the lights stay blinking and everything stays stable. The rest of us really focus on who needs help and who's got a need and how can we sit down and talk with them, understand what their need really is, and tailor some coaching sessions to those particular individuals to get them either building a solution by themselves or bringing in a third party to help build it for them or whatever their particular need is, but really customizing it to them. And to be honest, I spend most of my time, and Sarah does as well, in meetings with people throughout our business talking about their needs and talking about what they're trying to do and figuring out if SharePoint's the right tool, and if so, how they can make that happen.
So how does that work? I mean, take me through, let's say I work in HR, and I have some ideas, and I don't know if I could use SharePoint or not. Is there I pick up the phone, or is there a request process?
Through our SharePoint user group, we have a SharePoint user group SharePoint site, surprise, surprise. And on that, there's a help request form. It's an extremely simple form. We ask three questions, give it a quick title, tell us what your issue is or your question is or what you need, and categorize it really quickly on one of like 8 or 9 different categories from a dropdown. From there, it comes into a queue, and either usually myself or Sarah grabs it, looks at it, sees what they're trying to do, and we either call them on the phone, we send them an instant message, we send them an email, and start the conversation, and it really evolves kind of organically from there. And we really did a simple form on purpose to help drive that authentic and organic conversation with our internal customer to make sure that it didn't feel like we were just going to give them a form and kind of shove them through a process.
So typically, what's a response time on that?
Well, if it's me, I see an email pop up, and I usually respond pretty quick.
So you're saying Sarah is not like that?
He's totally making me look bad. He's going to hear about that later.
He works for you,
we
right?
Tend to be, we do tend to be pretty quick. So okay. We're clearing through issues. It's definitely less than a day. I would say the average is an hour or two. But we purposely chose to not have users, when they had a SharePoint question, we don't have them go through the help desk. We have them engage with our internal SharePoint user group community, and there are really three, I think, main reasons for that. Number one, oftentimes what they write in the ticket and what they actually need are very different things. So there's an exploratory process where we have to sit with them and actually figure out what it is that they need. And I think it would be more difficult to train a help desk person that might be on site or might be remote around what it is that we need. Second, we'd want to drive them to our SharePoint user group site because we invest a lot of effort in our SharePoint user group. And logging a ticket with us is only one of many avenues that they have to try and get help. So as the question, and we're going to be talking about our next session, we have a ninja network. We have a huge network of people that they can go to ask questions, and they use that as well. And then number three, we really wanted to bring it in into a separate queue because we've got all of our online learning, we've got our training classes, we really have a community of things so that even while it takes us a few minutes or an hour or two to get back to them, they can use some of the other content that are on the site to really help them out. So we usually use these opportunities as a hand-in-hand engagement opportunity, right? So we don't auto-provision SharePoint sites. We actually want to talk to people about what they want to do with SharePoint because we view it as being an opportunity to engage and have a dialogue. And that almost always ends up having better SharePoint solutions with more business value.
And I think there's one more reason why the help form on our SharePoint user group site is so useful. When someone fills out that form, they know they're essentially talking to myself or Sarah. They're not talking to the nameless, faceless entity that is the help desk. They know kind of who they're already talking to and pretty much who they're going to get a response from. And that has a lot of value.
You know, one idea, not idea, but one point you raise is this idea of community-based support and community-based learning. Mm-hmm. Right? So I want to go back to Nationwide and maybe share what your model is around support and communities and how you facilitate people helping each other.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. It's close but very opposite of what you do. Let me start with provisioning. In our provisioning process, we drive it through. And so, again, because we integrate so tightly, every SharePoint site has a Yammer group in it. Mm-hmm. And so when it comes through, we say, which group would you like us to add? We go out and we query Yammer, pull that group in and integrate it. Or if you'd like us to create a new one on the fly, we'll do it that way. So literally from the start, that stream of the Yammer feed on the right-hand side of that site is integrated right as it provisions, and it's an auto-provision process that it kicks out. So then once it's out there, we heavily use the Yammer environment to get the feedback and listen and learn. And so if people have questions, we encourage them. We actually have spot ninjas out in our environment, similar thing. And as people across the enterprise have become experts in the environment, everybody's watching Yammer. So our developers are watching the spot Yammer group. The ninjas are watching it. I'm sure other people are as well. But they see what's going on. And anytime somebody goes, I was trying to do this, and I deleted myself, what do I do? They don't call the help desk. They go into Yammer, and they post it in the site. So the phenomenon is our team's not answering all the questions. You get a lot of people around the company going, oh, I did that. Here's how you fix it. And they start to answer, and they help each other out. At the same time, you get feedback if somebody goes, this new feature really stinks. The developers can see that live and start to have that dialogue in Yammer real time right there, figure it out, fix it, and we can get the push out. So it's a live conversation that we're having, but it's in Yammer versus over any other media. That's really how we drive and support it. Even our help site has got little Camtasia 2-minute or less videos on how do I do all the various things across the sites and little things I could print and put at my desk. And that's all just fully automated out there for the teams or for the enterprise to come in and say, how do I do this? And we try to drive people there versus coming through the help desk or calling directly into the support team.
Wonderful. So Chris talked about little videos in Camtasia. I got a tweet asking, you know, in 2010, there's Productivity Hub. If you're not familiar, this is a something you can download from Microsoft. It's a self-service learning support, not support, but learning environment across the Microsoft tools. Who asked that question? Raise your hand. All right. On Twitter? Somebody tweeted it. Okay. All right. Maybe I tweeted myself. Anyway. But anyway, so the answer is yes. For 2013, there's a similar learning support type of resource. It's called discoversharepoint.com. You can hit it now, discoversharepoint.com. And what I love about this solution that Microsoft put together, it's business focused. It's not just sharing files or creating sites. It's around the business. Are you in HR? Are you in IT? Are you a project manager? What are you doing? Are you doing compliance stuff, onboarding employees? And what they do based on the need, They'd show solutions with videos and step-by-step and all that. Now, the good news is it's not only that it's available online. You can actually take this. This whole thing is an app that you can populate into your Office 365 environment or on-prem. So you can download this app and put it in your on-prem 2013 environment. It's a self-sustaining productivity, learning, support environment. So it's called DiscoverSharePoint.com. Yeah. Trek Bike, so how do you handle support?
Be very responsive, I guess, is the tip. I mean, we're small, so it's not like we're getting a ton of tickets and requests coming in daily. But I think, you know, it's keeping an eye out, and, you know, you guys have the ninjas, and, I mean, we have, like, three people, you know, that maybe will watch everything. But watching Yammer for questions, we get email directly, or just someone will ask, hey, I have a question. I think more than support, I think we keep on the lookout for places to actually do a new solution or help somebody. Like, not from, like, I'm having a problem using it, but, like, someone's like, man, I'm really trying to do this process. And we're like, you know what, we have this great tool that will help you and let us show you, rather than I'm having problems with SharePoint itself. We don't see a ton of support issues that way. And with Yammer, we have a Yammer 101 group. We do, you know, trainings and webcasts and one-pagers. And it's always good to do just whenever we kind of get a new group of people heavily using Yammer to get them. You know, sometimes we've tried different ways, like just try it out here, go for it. Or first, let's just take you aside and let's go through what it is. I mean, like Nationwide said, it's just, like, you really know a group's really using Yammer when that person post to all company some random thing that they meant for a group, then we know they're really using it. And, like, everyone does it at least once, right? And it's like, oops. But, yeah, I mean, that's we look in all those different channels. But, you know, keeping Yammer is the probably the go-to. And I think making it even better, like, things we want to do, like, let's use the help desk hashtag. Let's look for that or whatever. And drive people that way rather than a ticket system.
One interesting point you talk about is building these solutions, and Best Buy alluded to that too. Do you find, like, patterns that if it comes over and over again, and then, mm-hmm. wow, this is an opportunity to templatize this solution, like, you know, maybe expense reimbursement, some solution around that, or conference room scheduling, right? And if so, how do you templatize that and message it back to the community, hey, we got this new solution that you can use, like a conference room scheduling or expense reimbursement or whatever? Anybody, you know, anybody want to take that?
I think that we find similar patterns in things. So I think that issue tracking is a good one. They might not call it issue tracking, but everyone's got the need to be able to identify issues, hopefully not via email anymore, be able to assign them to individuals and be able to easily track them in some kind of a dashboard view to be able to complete them. I find that while it's a similar theory, we don't end up doing, the only thing that we really templatize is user acceptance testing. We use SharePoint lists a lot for that, and the need is almost always the same. You have test cases, the fields or columns tend to be fairly well defined, and everyone wants automated charting to be able to chart and graph the pie charts on the number of tickets that are passed, deferred, failed, et cetera. I think that that lends itself because the fields are very standard. When you deal with issue tracking or a lot of other things like that, I think that the general idea is the same. The workflow processes and the new notifications might be the same, but everybody's got their own onesie, twosie columns.
Sure.
So I still find that we still walk people through the building of solutions like that rather than usually templatizing them. But they do tend to be fairly quick, and we love point source solutions like that because they make excellent teaching tools. Our objective, we used to, when we first started out, we used to build solutions for people. It's actually pretty rare that we build solutions entirely for them. Almost all of what we do now is coaching them through building because A, that makes them have the ability to support it afterwards, and B, if I can teach them how to build something, then the next time that somebody near them needs help, they can help that person. So it's sort of a pay it forward approach.
And this is a good point, because traditionally in organizations, our business users would think, IT will build it for us or for me, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to call IT back.
Right.
But this idea of partnering and mentoring and coaching, not only their learning, But more importantly, they get the idea that it's theirs. The responsibility and the accountability comes in, yeah?
Right.
In the interest of time, I want to talk about the future. So quickly, for each one of you, if there was something you can redo, what would that be? Lessons learned. And then what are your grand plans for your investment in the platform SharePoint and Yammer? So I want to start with Chris.
Wow, redo. I don't know right now what I necessarily push to redo. I think for me, getting the mobile, so again, being in the environment we're in, we're still figuring out from an enterprise perspective, how do you get onto the personally owned device platform? We do a lot of stuff out there now, but it's in a secured container versus being a little more broadly opened like we'd like it to be. So I can take any device, and if I hook it to the network, our spot environment runs beautifully. But when you run it through a couple of hops, all of a sudden it's not as fun. So the redo would be maybe pushing a little harder on that aspect and having the solution out there from a technology perspective that's accepted by the enforcement organizations ahead of time. From a future perspective, again, if you can see the videos or some of the stuff that we showed this morning, it's taking the desktop that we built. So again, if you envision on any of these devices, you've got the applications that sit there for us. I mean, we've got a full-blown app store, and you've got a weather app that's a modal tile, and the weather changes with the temperature outside and clouds and rain and everything else, and I can bounce things up and show other things that help associates do what they need to do. So we've got this app store concept that's kind of Windows 8, kind of Surface tablet, kind of iOS, kind of Android feel to it that we're building to. And that's the huge genesis of where we've started and where we're, how we're going to build from it. Now, if you think from in there, how do we take just the core apps that are in there and continue to leverage the technology so that we can drive more messaging and communication? So if you think about on your phone, you'll click on any of those things that have a red dot just to clear the red dot.
Sure.
So how do we start to drive that mentality to that desktop experience so that people are clicking on things because we want them to and because we're messaging to them? And so integrating all of this stuff so they feel that and see that, and it just becomes that natural experience like you have on here. And one of the underlying premises is we don't train people really how to use Spot in that environment because the team has built it so easy like this that I can just kind of jump on there and feel my way around and learn it. Just continuing to build in that area is where we really see our future investments going and making it feel more and more like our real worlds are inside of the corporation.
Sure. Thank you. Steve?
Well, as far as a redo, I think, that's a really good question. And if you take a look, what if you were going to redo your company from the start? Would you have on-prem SharePoint? Would you have on-prem email? And so if we could do a redo, I think it would be, it just wasn't there at the time, but it would be, we're online, let's go online.
Everything in the cloud.
Everything online. And I think not only from a SharePoint perspective, but even more BI, Power BI and everything. So that would be the redo. As far as the future, all that same things, right? So since we're not there totally, let's get everything on to SharePoint online. Let's take advantage of the integrations that we'll see in Yammer and Outlook. Let's use Power BI, which is really just a SharePoint site, right? So let's take advantage of those things. I mean, we look for when Microsoft has announcements like they had yesterday. We look how can we use those? Like the video site that they came out with. Like right now we're using Vimeo and custom stuff and to have host videos. We see that, we're like, yeah, great. We can get rid of all that and just use out of the box functionality. So keeping up with the announcements and the changes and moving forward with all that is where we're going to go in the future.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you. Best Buy, any lessons learned, redo, and what the future looks like?
When you ask me what would I redo, the one thing that pops into my mind, we had a pretty long ramp up to getting 2013 up and running. We were actually in the process of building a large scale farm for 2010 when 2013 got announced. So I think if timing could have been different and we could have gotten the platform up and launched sooner, we probably would have been a little further along with getting more and more of our users. But we wanted to make sure we took the time, because Sarah mentioned we had kind of this huge hockey stick in adoption for 2007. We wanted to make sure we built a farm that was properly scaled to actually handle all of our users. So I think, in my mind, the redo would be maybe accelerating through that process of getting things launched, or having different timing, not when Microsoft was about to launch a new version of the platform. That comes to my mind.
And what does the future look like?
You want to take that?
I think in the future, I think that we still have a lot of 2013 that we haven't tapped yet. So we're still in the process. We got a lot of engagement in 2013. We're still getting people upgraded. So I think we have a lot that I'm looking forward to doing in the future in terms of community sites, building out a richer search experience. I think being more engaged with social. We have Yammer, but really looking at it from a strategic perspective. And I would call our Yammer, I don't really know what the strategic vision is for that at this point. So syncing that up with SharePoint, I think that we have a lot to do from a social entire collaborative aspect.
Sure.
And I'm looking forward to going after that in the future once we can kind of get everyone up to 2013 and be able to drop the decks on some of the earlier version farms that we have.
Wonderful. What do you guys think? Useful? Okay. So I'm going to take one question in the interest of time, because some of the speakers have a session. Go ahead.
My question is, after moving to SharePoint and continuing on, what would be the one area that you would say that your internal application developers or programmers spend the most efforts on in order to support the SharePoint?
Developer? You want to take that question, Steve?
Yeah,
so the question was, what does developers spend time on?
No. I mean, we try to, even though I manage software development group, we try to have a no code as much as possible. Like just key integrations, small, minimal, 100, 200 line integration apps, nothing like major with SharePoint application dev. So, no.
All right. Well, thanks again. Let's continue the conversation on Yammer. And other than that, enjoy the rest of the conference.